Well, we are on the 12th message, and I must share something with you, on demonology that is. A bothersome thought kept recurring to me. It went like this: you spent too much time showing that demons have operated throughout man's history, so you need to shorten the end. This is getting too long. And I kept thinking, you're spending too much time on this subject, it is time to move on. Then one day I said, I wonder who's talking to me. Is this the Lord or His adversary? Now, I don't know for sure how you determine all of it, but I kind of think it was the adversary. And so we're just going to go till we're done. After today, we will have done a dozen messages on the subject, and by now you are possibly among the few congregations in North America who have this amount of education on demonology. Many congregations have next to no information on this, some have none. And maybe you say, well, I'm really not that interested in being educated in this subject either. Well, I'll tell you something, I'm really not that interested in educating you on this either. It's kind of like writing up your will. Most of us put it off. It's pretty unpleasant, right? Or going to the doctor to get checked out because you have symptoms that feel like cancer. So sometimes we don't do it until it's too late. It's so unpleasant. That is the nature of our subject. So let me encourage you. It may be that even just a few words you hear in these messages will help you to save your child or your grandchild or maybe yourself to be hooked, to be keep from being hooked by the devil. One year at Christmas time, we had invited a Bible school student for dinner. We were way out in the woods, and after the dinner, our children were enjoying peanuts and Christmas candies, and one of my daughters got a candy stuck in her throat, and she was choking to death. By God's tender mercies, this student happened to know the right maneuver to pop the candy out, or we would have watched her die right there in front of us, and it's such a simple little thing. That may be what some of you may pick up in these messages, and it will save someone. This morning we will look at certain manifestations that may indicate demonization. Then we will look at the main doorways for demons into people, and then a list of occultic practices. So first then, this morning, we need to note that there are different manifestations that give some indication that a person may have spirits. By the way, when people have spirits, they feel defiled and they feel like they don't want to expose themselves, they want to hide. If you have any inkling like this and you are hiding, I would encourage you come and talk about it. Now, you know, when a person is under the influence of alcohol, there will be certain manifestations. I will never forget, our children were young and they saw this drunk man going to a telephone pole and he just hugged his telephone pole. They couldn't figure out what is wrong here. You know, it was a manifestation of something. The guy was drunk. If a person is controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will manifest itself in a clean, godly, holy life. If that's not there, you have to question the Christianity. When a person has demons, that too will manifest itself in various ways. So let me begin with that which we most easily recognize: wild, erratic behavior. Maybe something that appears like lunacy or causes distorted facial expressions or claws, you know. And when we think of demonized people, that is what we automatically think of. But this is only one sign, and it probably occurs in the fewest of cases. When Muslims, Catholics, etc. exorcise demons, I think it is usually the kind of demons that torment people physically and cause this kind of behavior. Yet these very same people who exorcise such demons remain totally oblivious to many other types of demons that they themselves may be promoting through things like idols, etc. Then another sign is psychic or occult powers. When you know information that is not available through the five senses, you understand this. When you have that, you need to give it consideration. Excuse me. Another sign is involvement in magic. And let me just say here that I am not talking about something called sleight of hand, tricks, and so on. Not talking about that. I will clarify more about that in a later message. When we talk about involvement in magic, we're talking about that which can be done that is outside the normal. For example, when you can make a chair lift over there without just by standing here. You've got something outside of the normal. There's some different kind of power involved there. Another manifestation of demonic activity is the ability to know things without gaining that knowledge in normal ways. Kurt Cook, who is not of the charismatic persuasion, but who is also very generous with those who are, says that it is not rare that demonized people know a foreign language without ever learning it. Now you can tell what that is. That's a counterfeit to the gifts of tongues in Scripture. There is a spiritual gift of tongues, but I have come across several writers who confirm that demonized people sometimes are able to speak in a language they have never learned before. So any extraordinary knowledge that you can't learn through the five senses or the Word of God, now you have to say, where is this from? Now, I will just list a number of other signs that may indicate demonic activity. Let me just say here something. Because you see one manifestation does not mean somebody's demonized. As a matter of fact, be very careful about ever diagnosing someone as demonized. Very careful about it. But if it's yourself or so on, I would encourage you to get it checked out. Things like great strength, abnormal human strength, depression, despondency, suicidal tendency is a fairly big one, filthy, uncontrolled swearing, radical change in behavior, hearing voices in one's head. By the way, if any of these are manifestations, do not be afraid to come and talk to us. Do not be afraid. It will be the devil that will make you afraid. Speaking with voices not the person's own. Opposition to the things of God. For instance, the difference between mental derangement and being demonized can sometimes be indicated when the person is very antagonistic to spiritual things. You might know from that whether this is mental or whether this is demonic. Conflict within as being divided between two personalities or more. Now, I want to mention something here and just briefly mention it. Some such experiences where you are divided within, where it seems like there's more than one person. Some of these are known in the medical world, like schizophrenia, etc. I might add here as well that some Christian counselors claim there is such a thing as what is called multiple personality disorder, which is not demonic. Now, I am not qualified to talk about this. I only say this so that you recognize that not every time does it mean that that is necessarily what it is. Then there are those people who have the need to have lights on at night. These are indicators. It doesn't mean it's demonized, but it's possible. False teaching. The last one I will give is false teaching may be a sign of demonism. And I would ask, do you think that a preacher could have demons? He wears a suit and a tie and has a good outward appearance. Doesn't sound like a demonic person, right? Maybe there's a slick professionalism in his presentation. We don't usually think that such people could be demonized. But could such a person have demons? Listen, go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You see, when we think of demonized people, we don't think people with a nice suit and so on as these kind of people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read verses 13 through 15. Paul talking about false apostles. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You see, you have, one of the writers I read said you have to watch for demonism in the pulpit. False teaching can indicate demonism. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now listen, not every spirit, not every man. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You see, it is not the person one is to check, but the spirit that is there, which means demonic person. And we don't think of these as demonized people. And in these verses, the spirit is tested by biblical doctrine. That's how you test them. So let me say once more, be very careful before you suspect someone has demons, or at least before you say anything like that. Don't take one sign as conclusive proof, either about yourself or someone else. And if it is for yourself, have it checked by some godly, mature Christian. Or if it is one of your children, have that checked as well. You know, because you are 4 or 5 years old does not mean you could not have spirits. Now, we want to look at another point. And that is what opens the doors for demons to enter. Demons cannot enter at will. I do not know all that is involved. But Kurt Cook gives 3 major ways through which a person can become demonized. And I will give them here. First, he says, if the forefathers up to the 3rd or even 4th generation were spiritists, or if they practiced magic or any other form of occult activity, the descendants are usually psychic. That doesn't mean they all have demons, but the descendants are usually psychic. Psychic powers may be either conscious or unknown. Some people are psychic without realizing. When he talks about psychic, in my view, it's a wrong word. It means people who have information that you can't get through the 5 senses. So, whenever there is any spiritism in a person's family history up to the 4th generation back, such persons, when they become Christians, need to know how to break that demonic bondage. In another quote, he says, psychic powers are mostly found in proximity to sins of sorcery. If the forefathers up to the 3rd or even 4th generation were spiritists, or if they practiced magic and other forms of occult activity, the descendants are usually psychic. Psychic powers may be either conscious or unknown. Some people are psychic without realizing it. Others come to realize that they are psychic through some particular experience. Sensitivity to the rod and ability to make a pendulum react are psychic powers. Now, the other day I talked about needle on the thread and so on. When you can make these things happen, you've got an indicator of psychic powers. The Lord says in Exodus 20, verses 4 through 5, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me. Up to the 4th generation, if you know anyone in the past, up to the 4th generation, I'll tell you later some of what to do about that. The second major way in which demons find entrance into a person is when a person experiments with the occult. This experimentation can come from something as simple as wanting a little romance. Listen to this internet site on casting spells. Casting spells is demonic. Here is one on love potions, love spells and love charms. It reads like this. Looking to put a spark of magic into your relationship? Try a little witchcraft. Witchcraft is an ancient art which utilizes the powers of nature, flag, powers of nature and the mind, lifting things without being there through mind powers, to bring about the desired effect. Specific combinations of natural elements draw specific energies, red flag. One can tap these energies by stimulating the senses to induce altered states of consciousness, red flag, that intensify moods and feelings, red flag. A skeptic, are you? This is what the article says. A skeptic, are you? What have you got to lose? Follow these simple but powerful ways to conjure up some romance. Well, it may not be romance. Maybe you want to know something about your mom or your dad that has passed away. Well, just try this simple method. You know, I am amazed. Someone gave me a book here by an old order Mennonite bishop. I want to recommend this book here later on. But he writes from the east of the United States, and I'm amazed at how our Mennonite people gravitate to certain types of demonism that are involved in either health things and so on. We'll talk more about that. Well, in a moment I will read a list of occultic practices. Any involvement, no matter how innocent, can be a doorway for demons. The third major way, we'll look at this third major way, family history and experimentation with the things we just mentioned are major dangers to becoming demonized. There is another area of danger. Kurt Cook gives an example of a team of men who were dealing with a certain demonized person, and they did not realize the one young man with them was not a Christian. And when the demon went out of the person they were dealing with, he entered this unsaved person. This is the area of transference of demons from one person to another. This is a very common way of becoming demonized. Those who carry demons may be used to transfer demons to others. Now, I do not know what all it takes to transfer demons from one person to another. I can tell you this very simply. Being a Christian is one of the greatest protections you can have. But that's not everything, but it's one of the greatest. But Cook lists this as one of the major ways of becoming demonized. I would mention here as well that if you live in a place where magic or demonism has been practiced in that house, or where demonized people have lived, this greatly increases the risk of becoming demonized. Let me mention here as well that we may have demonized articles in our homes. Things from other countries, Africa, India. You can, when you pick up souvenirs, some of those may have been used in idol worship or so on, and they may carry with them demons. There are those who have not found freedom from demons until they got rid of, burned those things in their homes. Not all of these may have been used in connection with idolatry or demons, but if they were, they may be the thing through which the devil can trouble our homes, and maybe demons are transferred to us. Now, we do know a Cree lady who has written a book on Native spirituality, and if she would go drive in La Creek here and see our Mennonite cars with dream catchers, she would gasp. She would say, get rid of these, burn that thing. You need to learn what dream catchers are. You can buy them in stores in town here. So if you should suspect anything like this, you can pray over the place, ask God to remove all demonic powers residing there, or you could have someone knowledgeable, some knowledgeable folk from the church or the church leaders come and pray over your home. And my wife reminded me of something this morning, and I'm glad she did. I understand that demonized people, when they die, they want to transfer their demons to someone else, and sometimes they can't die until they have transferred them. So when you are working with these kinds of people, you must be careful. You must protect yourself by the blood of Christ when you are in contact with people like this. Now we want to look at some demonic or occultic practices, and I'm going to read the list for you. I'm going to read this. I can't expand on all of these, but if you have heard the word, God the Holy Spirit might be able to alert your mind when you come into contact with some of these. Astral projection, astrology, automatic writing, black or white magic, White magic, same, don't. It's not good. Blood packs, calling on the spirits for healing. There are people who get healed by others charming them and so on. And many times they find demonized people have been charmed somewhere in their life. So charming, charms, being charmed, clairvoyance, knowing things about others that couldn't be known otherwise. Crystal ball, curses or hexes, cutting oneself, dousing, water witching, etc. Drugs, Dungeons and Dragons. Let me say something about games here. There are all kinds of demonic games. Parents, you all, for many of you, only have to look at the pictures and you know it's demonic. Do not allow these into your homes. But games like Dungeons and Dragons, just asking for demons. EST, fortune telling, horoscopes. You can't go hardly anywhere, read any papers without coming across horoscopes. Hypnosis, self or otherwise. Let me mention something about these cookies you get with fortune-telling cookies. If you read it, don't put any weight to it. As soon as you put weight to it, you have given room for the evil one. Hypnosis, any kind of hypnosis, incubi and succubi. These are succubi. These are sexual spirits. By the way, sexual immorality is one of the big ways for demonism. Karate, levitation, magic eight ball, materialization, mental manipulations or attempts to swap minds, native spirituality. By the way, this is happening in the churches now, some Mennonite churches. Needle on a thread, new age medicine, Ouija boards. I want to see how many have heard about Ouija boards. Oh, yeah. How many have seen one? This is a very demonic thing. Parker Brothers has sold piles of Ouija boards. Palm reading, ring on a thread, rock and roll music. I'll comment on this later. The rod and pendulum, including water witch. And by the way, rod and pendulum, I understand you have to watch some doctors. They may put some pills underneath something and hang a thread, or while you probably won't see it, they may go do it somewhere else. You have to watch all this kind of stuff. Okay. Satanic ritual or worship, seances, speaking in a trance, spells or curses, spirit guides or helpers, spirit shields, bundles and fetishes or objects of worship, spiritism, table lifting, table tapping, making the table tap answers to your questions and so on. Tarot cards. How about the deck of 52? Could I ask you something? Check YouTube on cartomancy. Cartomancy. Teacup. Tea leaf reading. Telepathy. Transcendental meditation. Curses or hexes. Yoga. And let me add last that Ken Lovdell would add by saying that another danger is, and I quote, doing things because of fear of the spirits. Anything you do because of fear of spirits, or anything else that puts a person in contact with the spirit world or gives them power over you, even false religious experiences like speaking in tongues can lead into bondage to other spirits and another Jesus. By the way, Warren Smith's book is out. We'll be getting some copies here pretty soon. And in answer to Jesus Calling, a book that is selling millions, going into many languages, and he has called his book Another Jesus Calling. You can pray about that. How about superstitions? How about Friday the 13th? Does it affect you? How about the 13th floor in a motel or the 13th room? Does this affect you? When a black cat crosses your path, does this affect you? Listen, you know what? This is the place to learn to cut off demons. I will not give in to any fears of these. I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The cats can go wherever they want to go. Let's not be brazen about it. Just trust the Lord God. Some people live in fear under these things. They won't walk underneath a ladder. It's all superstition. I think I need to spend some time on music here. I mentioned rock and roll music earlier, and I want to spend or expand on it here because it is probably our number one danger in our area. We're talking about rock and roll of any kind, even Christian rock. Ken Lovdell says, if you know the definition of rock and roll and what it is referring to, it is blasphemy to even connect the word Christian with rock. Let me go a little further. I have heard this expression, oh, that rocks. I think it's filthy. This word comes from. Now, music is probably the most dangerous area among us here that involves the occult. Young people, I understand many of you may be listening to ungodly music. Parents, it is your responsibility to check out the music your young people are listening to. That is, if they're in your home. It is possible to become demonized by listening to the wrong music. You see, men like Ken that I've talked to, they say that they've talked to the demon and said, how did you get in? They said, well, by through the music. That's how we got in. Demons confess that they have found entrance through music. I want to quote from David Cloud, who has collected what rock musicians themselves have said. I won't give you all of the sources for the sake of time, but if you want the list of these, I will gladly type that out. I am indebted to David Cloud. All he has done is collected what they themselves have said. We're not talking about David Cloud here. We're talking about what the rock musicians themselves say. So I'm going to read. Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend, Thane Pridson, said, he used to always talk about some devil or something was in him, you know. He didn't know what made him act the way he acted and what made him say the things he said and the songs and different things like that just came out of him. It seems to me he was so tormented and just torn apart like he really was obsessed, you know, with something really evil. Robert Plant and Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin both claim that they don't know who wrote their occultic song, Stairway to Heaven. Plant testifies, Pagey had written the chords and played them for me. I was holding the paper and pencil, and for some reason, I was in a very bad mood. Then all of a sudden, my hand was writing out words. This is automatic writing. I just sat there and looked at the words, and then I almost leaped out of my seat. Pete Townsend of The Who says that he began acting as a medium for music when he learned to play the harmonica as a boy. I got lost in the sound of the mouth organ and then had the most extraordinary life-changing experience. Suddenly I was hearing music within the music, rich, complex, harmonic beauty that had been locked in the sounds I'd been making. The next day I went fly fishing, and this time the murmuring sounds of the river opened up a wellspring of music so enormous that I fell in and out of a trance. It was the beginning of my lifelong connections to what might be described as the music of the spheres. One day I found some chords that made me lightheaded. As I played them, my body buzzed all over and my head filled with the most complex, disturbing orchestral music. I had the ability to create alpha state music in my head, go into a creative trance, have musical visions since so much of this music bubbled up urgently from my subconscious mind. I'm left to interpret it much like anyone else. Bruce Springsteen says, in the end, you have to look at a song and not know exactly where it came from. Bill Ward of Black Sabbath says, I've always considered that there was some way where we were able to channel energy, and that energy was able to be from another source, if you like a higher power or something that was actually doing the work. I've often thought of us just being actually just the earthly beings that played the music because it was uncanny. Some of this music comes out extremely uncanny. Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac says, it's amazing because sometimes when we're on stage, I feel like somebody's just moving the pieces. I'm just going, God, we don't have any control over this, and that's magic. Angus Young, lead guitarist for AC/DC, is called the guitar demon, and he admitted that something takes control of the band during their concerts. It's like I'm on automatic pilot. By the time we're halfway through the first number, someone else is steering me. I'm just along for the ride. I become possessed when I get on stage. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones says, "We receive our songs by inspiration like at a seance." Keith Richards said that he received the opening riff to the Wicked song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction in a Dream." He woke up and sang it into a tape recorder. "I was directed and commanded by another power, the power of darkness, that a lot of people don't believe exists, the power of the devil, Satan." That was little Richard. Mark Storrs of a heavy metal band, Crocus, says, "You can't describe it, playing rock music, except to say it's like a mysterious energy that comes from the metaphysical plane and into my body. It's almost like being a medium." The Playboy interviews with John Lennon and Yoko Ono say, "They, the Beatles, were like mediums. They weren't conscious of all they were saying, but it was coming through them." Of the Beatles' album Rain, which featured one of the earliest instances of backward taping, Ringo Starr said, "I feel as though that was someone else playing. I was possessed." Of his music, John Lennon said, "It's like being possessed, like a psychic or a medium." He also said, "It's amazing that it, the tune to In My Life, just came to me in a dream. That's why I don't profess to know anything. I think music is very mystical." And to quote him again, "I felt like a hollow temple filled with many spirits, each one passing through me, each inhabiting me for a little time, and then leaving to be replaced by another." John Lennon. Then he says, "When the real music comes to me, it has nothing to do with me, because I'm just a channel. It's given to me, and I transcribe it." Paul McCartney said, "The music to Yesterday came in a dream. The tune just came complete. You have to believe in magic. I can't read or write music." Michael Jackson of the Rolling Stones says, "I wake up from my dreams and go, wow, put this down on paper. And the whole thing is strange. You hear the words. Everything is right. Everything is right there in front of your face. I feel that somewhere, someplace it's been done, and I'm just a courier bringing it into the world." And again he says, "When I hit the stage, it's all of a sudden a magic from somewhere that just comes, and the spirit just hits you, and you just lose control of yourself." Alanis Morissette says, "A lot of songs were written in 15 to 30 minutes, very stream of consciousness, as though it was being channeled through us." Ray Manzarek, the keyboardist for Doors, says, "When the Siberian shaman gets ready to go into his trance, all the villagers get together and play whatever instruments they have to send him off into the trance and possession." It was the same way with the Doors when we played in concert. I think that our drug experience let us get into it, the trance state, quicker. It was like Jim Morrison was an electric shaman, and we were the electric shaman's band pounding away behind him. Sometimes he wouldn't feel like getting into the state, but the band would keep on pounding and pounding, and little by little it would take him over. God, I could send an electric shock through him with the organ. John could do it with his drum beats. Robert Fripp, guitarist for King Crimson, says, "That certain feeling happened to me in a big way quite often with the first King Crimson. Amazing things would happen. I mean telepathy, qualities of energy, things that I had never experienced before with music. You can't tell whether the music is playing the musician or the musician is playing the music." Jim Kerr of Simple Mind says, "I believe inspiration comes through me and that I can channel it." John McLaughlin, leader of Mahavishnu Orchestra, testified, "One night we were playing and suddenly the spirit entered into me and I was playing, but it was no longer me playing. Glenn Tipton of Judas Priest says, "I just go crazy when I go on stage. It's like someone else takes over my body." 1974, Joni Mitchell told the press of a male spirit who helps her write music. Joni Mitchell credits her creative powers to the male muse she identifies as art. He has taken so much control of not only her music but her life that she feels married to him and often roams naked with him on her 40-acre estate. His hold over her is so strong that she will excuse herself from parties and forsake lovers whenever he calls. Ginger Baker, drummer for the popular 60s band Cream, said, "It happens to us quite often. It feels as though I'm not playing my instrument. Something else is playing it, and that same thing is playing all three of our instruments. That's what I mean when I say it's frightening sometimes. Maybe we'll all play the same phrase out of nowhere. It happens very often to us." Joe Cocker, who contorts grotesquely during his performances, claims that something seizes him when he sings rock and roll. Daryl Oates of Hall & Oates says, "When I'm singing and in touch with the energy I'm generating, I sometimes literally have no awareness of where I am. The ego disappears and me and my surroundings with it. That's the reason I'm in music, to achieve that feeling." The original recording of "I Put a Spell on You" was done after the Screaming Jay Hawkins and his band members got drunk and some type of presence seemed to seize him. He began grunting, growling, screaming, gurgling in strange unknown tongues and wildly dancing around the studio. David Bowie, "Rock has always been the devil's music." This is rock music. Musician talking. "Rock has always been the devil's music. You can't convince me that it isn't. I honestly believe everything I've said. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel that we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves." Carlos Santana keeps a yellow legal pad handy to record the music when it comes to him, just like a fax machine. Ozzy Osbourne says, "I really wish I knew why I've done some of the things I've done over the years. I don't know if I'm a medium for some outside source. Whatever it is, frankly, I hope it's not what I think it is, Satan." Yeah. Now, we must conclude this morning. Let me just give you briefly the main points of what we covered this morning. We've looked at the various manifestations that are coming, that are common to those who have spirits. Then we looked at the main doorways for demons into people. And the first of these was family history. And I would encourage all those who know any forebears up to the fourth generation that they cleanse themselves from that. The second doorway for demons to enter people is through experimenting with any occultic practices. And the last one is transference. By the way, may I say this? If you are afraid, then there may be spiritual activity there. And I want to encourage you, do not be afraid. The best thing is to deal with these things openly and honestly. Our last point listed numerous occultic practices. This is by no means complete, but it will give you a good idea of what to look for and to recognize in occultic practices. And now, in this next moment, some of you will meet the devil, and he will do everything he can to talk you out of it. I'm going to pray against him, and then we're going to ask for commitment and prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus, and he beheld Satan fall like lightning. He has overcome the wicked one. I thank you, Lord God, for the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has power over all the forces of darkness. And this morning, if you have spoken to anyone here, I pray, Lord, that you would relieve them from any powers that would keep them from taking the step stand for you. I pray that you would bind all forces that would seek to distort or destroy anything that has been said. And I pray, Lord, that you would give that freedom and courage to take any steps that need to be taken to break any kind of bondage of the past. So I commit that to you. And this morning, I want to ask you, you can look if you want, I want to ask you, for any of these things here, if the Lord has spoken in some way, and you would like me to pray for you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. This doesn't mean that you are a demonized person or that you have demons. This means I am willing to stand against the wicked one, and there is something in my past or my forefathers, and I am willing to start to break this chain. So if you have been involved, say, in any of the things mentioned, and you did not know that it could be occultic, and you would like to acknowledge that and ask prayer, say, you know what, I've been involved in some of these things, Ouija board, whatever it may be, and this morning I want you to pray for me. If you want to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read this, in the end I will pray for you. Is there anyone here like that this morning? Just feel free to stand. This is not a shameful thing. The biggest thing is to take care of things. Video games. Maybe you are involved in video games that are either bad or questionable. Ouija board or occultic things like, say, certain cards. And you want to make a commitment to get rid of them. And you are asking for prayer. I'm going to pray for you this morning to give the courage to go home and get rid of it. Whatever it may be, music. It may be this morning that you need to get rid of some music. This morning, this is the time, right now. When you walk out that door, it'll be too late. Time to make a commitment. Third, you may have in your home certain things from other countries, or that may be occultic and you sense you should get rid of it. Let me tell you a little experience. Many years ago, my wife, you saw a demon in our, we lived in a trailer. She saw a demon, was it beside me there? And she saw this thing right there. And we didn't know what to do about that. And so I prayed and checked, Lord, what do I have in my home? And I had gotten the Book of Mormon from a Mormon. And I went, I burned the Book of Mormon. It never happened again. I don't know what all was involved. We burned it and we were clear of that thing. If you have anything in your home, listen, you will maybe get talked out of doing this. I would encourage you to stand this morning. Make a public stand. You may be talked out of doing this by the time you get home. You're willing to get rid of anything that there. It could be music. I am willing to break this music. Listen, if you are breaking music, you have to stay clear of it for quite some time till you notice the changes that come out of that. Fourth, I've talked about music. Music is incredibly powerful. Fifth, there may be someone you know that you should talk to because they are involved in something and you want prayer for courage to talk to them. This is a very difficult thing. There's someone involved in something and you need to talk to them. You understand this morning, I want to pray for you. Is there anyone else here this morning yet? Anyone else yet? A lot of these things will take a lot of courage. Lord, you have won the victory. And victory is ours in the name of Jesus. And this morning, Lord God, you know the heart of each person standing here before you. And you know the particular area of need. And this morning I pray against all those forces that would rob them of that which they sense right now as soon as they walk out of this door. And that you will give them the courage to carry through that which you have shown them in the light. And I pray, Lord God, that you will remove any boundaries, take all fear away from them, and give them the freedom to do whatever it is you have put your finger on this morning. Then, Lord, I pray for them that they will have the courage to carry all the way through.
and then that you will give freedom. I am just 100% confident you will give freedom where there is obedience to you in these. And then I pray for those who may still be locked into music. And I pray, Lord, that you will be pleased in the days ahead to give them some indication that this is a very, very demonic realm. And then I pray for those children with video games and things that may be already numbing their minds toward that which is demonic. I pray that you will speak to their hearts and deliver them. And now, Lord God, I pray for each person standing here. You will grant them the victory in the name of Jesus. I ask you, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll call on the song leader.